Welcome back, family. We hope all of you are staying safe and sheltering in place. This is an unprecedented time for the world, and we want everyone to know you're in our thoughts and prayers. We hope that this week's guest can bring some comfort and understanding about what's happening around us. Dr. Bernadette is back with us, and there couldn't be a better time to have her here. She brings to us her experience and firsthand knowledge of treating people who've contracted the coronavirus. Please listen to what she has to say, and we hope that you take something from it. Leave comments, let us know how you're doing out there. Look, we love you guys, and we couldn't do anything without you. Let's go. Okay, welcome back, family. Where do we start with the world right now? I don't even know. We're going to do our part to both entertain and educate at the same time. And to that end, I heard from one of my favorite people. We haven't talked in 100 years. 100, like the black version of it, 100. But fell right back into the conversation that we just talked yesterday.
Absolutely.
My sister, I'm just moving you to whatever position in the family I want to at this point. So my sister is back with us. Dr. Bernadette. We're going to laugh and we're going to talk, but this is a very important time and a very somber time in our country at the same time. And we're not here to depress you, but we are going to share some information with you. So I don't even think we have to explain what the world is going through right now, but COVID-19 is a thing. And it wasn't a thing, as far as I was concerned, 6 months ago. So break down what this thing is, please.
So I'm so excited to be back talking with you. Certainly, I wish I was coming on the show for another reason, but I'm glad for this opportunity to inform people about COVID-19. And this virus is so different from anything that we've had to deal with in the past, mainly because of the rapid spread of the virus. We don't know still today a lot about this virus because we haven't had that opportunity. We kind of came in full force having to save lives and focus on saving lives. And we have some wonderful scientists working on the actual epidemiology and the pathophysiology of the disease. But right now we're faced with a respiratory disease that is extremely contagious. I mean, it lives on surfaces and remains in the air even after a person who is COVID positive sneezes or coughs. So there's, even though we know more about the disease, there's a lot that we don't know. And it has came in and taken the lives of so many people so rapidly and spread across the world so rapidly, giving us a little time, not much time, I would say, to learn about it. So we're kind of learning, treating, and trying to control the spread all at the same time.
The only thing I can equate it to, and I don't know the age groups of the people we're listening to, but I remember growing up in the 80s and 90s when AIDS hit real hard and we didn't understand what was happening, but people were just dropping and we were scared. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to say it. Like, there was a lot of misinformation, a lot of don't touch peoples, and these anecdotal stories that you would hear from whoever that knew somebody that touched somebody that had AIDS and now their whole family had AIDS. And it feels kind of like that same level of fear is happening again with a lot of the information that may not be true or blown out of proportion. So I guess I want to start with, what can I do on a daily basis to make sure that I'm good?
The main thing that we are asking people to do is to stay home. And I know that seems like so simple, but it is so powerful when we are faced with a pandemic like this, because we are still learning about the pandemic as we're treating people. And so staying at home slows the spread and gives us more time to learn more about the disease. And also the hand washing. And, you know, it's so funny that we're focusing on things that we should be doing anyway, but hand washing is critical with a disease like this. So staying apart, washing your hands, and disinfecting. These are probably seem like very simple things, but right now it is really what is helping us control the spread of the disease. So I know we want to go visit our families and we want to go hang out with our friends, but this isn't the time. We are facing a deadly disease and we need to stay home. And when you stay home, it gives physicians like myself and other people the opportunity to go out and help and learn and be able to protect you and us.
So, okay, I don't know. I can only speak for myself, but there's been mornings I woke up with a, you know, a little bit of sore throat and spent an hour or two, like, kept staring at the infographic of the symptoms of COVID-19 to remind myself that we were coming out of flu season and that I was feeling sick prior to all of this. And it's allergy season, there's been pollen. If I wake up in the morning feeling like I may have something, and I have no way to get tested currently, what should I be looking for and when should I run to the doctor?
So you're right. Now that's what's making this so tough for healthcare providers too, because we are in coming to the end of flu and then we're going right into sinus allergy season. But if you, and most of us who've had sinus and allergy symptoms for a while, we kind of know what that feels like. So if you wake up and you're having that shortness of breath, the cough, the fever, and body aches and just feeling fatigued, that's the right time to call your healthcare provider. You don't have to wait until you're what we call very sick in order to give us a call, you know. And if you know that you possibly have had exposure to someone who's COVID positive, that's also a great time to give us a call. So I have people who call maybe with just one of those symptoms. They just have a fever or they're just having body aches. And we look at the whole picture. So generally when they call, I ask about the other symptoms, shortness of breath, cough, fever, body aches. Then I want to ask if you've been, you know, exposed to any known COVID positive person. Also, the person's medical history. You know, are you in a higher risk group with diabetes and hypertension or cancers or heart disease? We have to look at the entire picture to decide, does this person meet the criteria for COVID testing.
Why is it so important to stay in the house? And I know, like, say I wake up in the morning and I want to go get a paper. I'm not infected. Why can't I go outside? Why should I stay in the house?
I'm not saying that you shouldn't go outside. I mean, I tell people they can go for a walk if that's what they choose to do. But I'm telling you to stay at least 6 feet from another person when you are outside. So it's not you going to get a paper. It's you going to get a paper and then you get sort of casual with being in contact with other people that is the concern. Because you're going to get that one paper and you're at a place where someone's COVID positive, just picking up that one newspaper could be how you become COVID positive.
So if I touch something that somebody who's got the virus has touched, I'm immediately infected?
I don't want to say you're immediately infected. I don't know that you will be infected, but you are at a higher risk of being infected.
Can you explain to me, all right, so I'm hearing like people who they say they've tested positive, but they have no symptoms. Does that mm-hmm. mean that later on they will have symptoms? Does that mean they'll never have symptoms? I know I used to hear a lot about HPV and how some men were carriers of HPV but never experienced symptoms themselves but had infected so many other people who did. Is it something like that?
What happens is, and I've had several cases like that, you could be COVID positive and really be asymptomatic. And that's kind of one of the pitfalls with this disease, because if you don't have a reason to think to, you know, even contact your doctor or to go get tested, and you're COVID positive and you're out getting your papers, spreading the virus, that becomes a problem. So whether or not they will show symptoms, some people won't. They will not show symptoms. You know, I actually am treating someone like that now. And, you know, she's pretty much been self-quarantined for 14 days or so, but she never has shown symptoms. However, there were other reasons that she was tested.
So there's so many questions to ask about what's happening right now in the country. So I'm trying to sort through and ask the best questions for everyone who's listening. Well,
let me speak to this, if you don't mind. What you asked me before about what we should do. One of the other things that I didn't say at that point was we need to be careful of spreading myths, because when you put out misinformation to the masses, it creates confusion. So even when we get something as simple or as a social media post and we just hit the send button and share with, you know, with our whole network, we need to be careful of that, because trying to go back and, correct or unlearn something is very difficult. And we're at a state now where people are very, have a lot of anxiety and they're fearful already. So spreading misinformation does not do anyone any good. I advise people to get a reliable source like the CDC or the World Health Organization and get your information from that organization as opposed to taking information from people that you really don't know.
Okay. In line with that, masks. Do I have to have the well, clearly I can't get the N95 mask easily, but if I just grab a bandana, is that good enough? Wrap an old t-shirt around my face? What are the guidelines for that?
So right now we're telling people that if they cannot get a mask, a N95 or just the regular face mask, then you can make your own mask, because it's a barrier. You know, we're trying to keep, you know, the nose and the mouth covered. However, if you can get a mask that's better fitting, of course, that's what we're going to recommend. But we have a shortage of those now, and they're going preferably to the healthcare providers before they're going to the community. So, and we realize that. So rather than just leave people without anything, we are recommending that you can make your own home mask. But let me say this. I don't want people to I don't want people to believe that if they have on this mask, then it's okay for me to go up and talk to somebody. No, it's just an extra barrier. We still want people to do social distancing and also wear a mask as a secondary protection.
I saw something on social media, so I'm going to bring it up here. And let me be clear. Social media is not where you should be going for your main source of information. I don't think we can repeat that enough. If you see it on Facebook, please verify with a reputable source. Absolutely. I know Andre spits a lot of good memes, but Andre is not a doctor. And we should not just be assuming Andre knows what's going on. But I saw somewhere someone said that it was perfectly okay to fly because the airlines were taking care of their end of things and you didn't even need to wear a mask because they were sanitizing everything between flights. Good idea, bad idea. I'm going to assume bad idea, but I'm going to ask a professional. Yes.
I still say stay at home. Now, there's just some emergency reason that you need to fly, I would still wear my mask and do those things that we ask you to do. But I would say first, stay at home. Because where are you going right now? Most of the people have gone to the Zooms and different conferencing apps to be able to communicate. So I would really stress stay at home, because you don't want that to be the trip that gives you the COVID. And you don't know who you're flying. And you don't know if that person has been following the recommendations or they've been casual with the recommendations. So just remember, what one person does can impact the whole community. That's why when people are hoarding products like hand sanitizers, and when we're talking about a community infection, you want your whole community to have hand sanitizers, not just you. Because if only you have, if you are the only person in that community who has it, and everybody else is, you know, doing whatever they want to do, you probably are going to be infected.
I was reading something today. One of the Harvard medical schools put out an article in the journal saying that there's a possibility that social distancing may extend into 2022. Is it too early to start looking that direction when we haven't even got a grasp on what's happening?
Yes, I would say that. I think that in these next several weeks, we're going to learn more about the disease. And because we're channeling all our energy to learning about it as quickly as possible. So I don't want to, you know, forecast when we're going to be able to come out of our homes. I think that we just have to take it one day at a time and just believe and know that we're doing all that we can do right now. And it's a disease or a virus that we need everyone's help. So if we all work together, we will definitely get out of this pandemic faster.
I want to get a little more specific with you. We're seeing a lot of numbers that say that minority communities, African-American community is being hit much harder by the disease, or the virus rather, than other minority groups, if you will. Why do you think that is?
Well, here's the thing. Health disparities are real, and they were here way before COVID-19. So African-Americans have been disproportionately impacted by many chronic diseases, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, which places us at a higher risk for being infected with diseases such as COVID-19. And we tend to live more crowded, multi-generational living. And so self-quarantine, even if you ask the person to self-quarantine, it's more difficult. There are lack of resources. African Americans have had difficulty with access to healthcare. You know, we work in jobs where a lot of service jobs where we're in contact with sick people. So there are so many reasons why this is going on. There's a disproportionate number of African American physicians in these communities. You know, there's a distrust by African Americans for the healthcare community. So there are just so many factors that came before COVID. So when you see a virus like this that's impacting the whole world, I'm not one bit surprised that the African-American community is going to be hit harder, because they were struggling before COVID-19.
What do we do next?
When you say, what do we do next, in terms of our community?
I mean, you and I have both gone to the grocery store and seen people outside partying and having cookouts and not taking it seriously. And I don't know about you, but I've had the sincere desire to scream on folk about take your so-and-so inside. And, you know, God bless you. He can hear your prayers from your bedroom. Stop going to church.
Absolutely. And I think we still have to come with that messaging, you know, stay at home. This is not, I mean, there was a myth at one point that African-Americans are immune from COVID-19. We need to continue to let our community know, no, those are myths, and you have to stay at home. I mean, even myself, with my own family, I'm constantly struggling with them because they think, you know, social distancing means that they can still interact as a family with cousins, the extended family. That's not what that means. You know, social distancing means you stay in your house, okay, and only the people that are in your home. So we still have to keep emphasizing stay home. And we have to ask our businesses in these communities to not give us reasons to come out. I mean, I think I was sharing that my nephew still wants to go get a haircut, not during this time, okay? And I would hope that his barber would not even be operating right now. So they're just, we have to continue to tell and emphasize that this is the time to stay at home. And I just don't know how to say that any plainer.
I want to make sure that we do tell people too, and you can speak to this better than I can. being inside, if you're alone, it can lead to thoughts and ideas. And loneliness is a real thing.
Absolutely.
What can people do if they're starting to feel mentally unwell during this time?
That's a fantastic question. Now, remember, as when I was talking earlier, I mentioned that you can come outside. I just don't want people to congregate. So sometimes it's as simple as being able to take a walk in your community. But when you're taking that walk, you know, you don't stop by the neighbor's house, or, you know, if you see them, you can wave, say hi, or you can even talk to them from a distance. I mean, I was talking to my neighbor the other day, and it must have been maybe 18 feet between us, you know. So you can still come out and see people and have some type of socializing. Also, there are things like meditation. I really love that. And there's some great meditation apps. Headspace has one. There's different breathing techniques, aromatherapy. And then this also is a great time to plan what you want your life to look like after this is over, because this will pass. You know, it's not going to just be here forever. So use this as a time to reset, rethink, and reprioritize what you really want for your life. I know this pandemic for me has definitely made me think about the way in which I want to live my life.
I'm happy you came by. I say came by like we're in the same room, but I'm happy you came by. Really, I think we're going to help put some people's fears, not to bed, because I mean, I don't think it's realistic for us to completely hope people stop being scared. But I think a realistic view of what's happening is really helpful. How are you taking care of yourself during this time? Because I know you said you're treating people.
Yes, I still have, my practice is still open, and I'm doing a lot of telemedicine, and I do bring in patients who really need to be seen face-to-face. But the thing is, I'm not hopeless right now. I still believe in science. I believe in medicine, and I believe there are good people that will bring us a cure and a vaccine. It will manifest. I just know that it will. And in the meantime, I'm just working on me, and how can I be better after this? You know, a lot of times we have put material things above our families and above spending time with friends. And it takes something like this to remind you of what's important in your life. You know, I lost a family member during just the other week because of COVID-19. And, you know, it makes you wonder it makes you think about skipping those birthday parties and those anniversaries that you were invited to. So what I want to do is come out of this a different person, because what I think will be so sad is that after COVID-19, if we're just the same.
I was telling somebody the other day that never in the history of mankind have we been better equipped for social distancing. Zoom, mm-hmm. Instagram, Facebook, all of these companies mm-hmm. who are actually surprisingly taking a hit on their bottom line to encourage people to stay safe and connect at the same time. You know, all of these celebrity musicians who are doing all these little Instagram concerts, those little things. I was, you know, grooving with D Nice one Saturday night. He was giving a free uh-huh. concert. That was amazing to me. And it's just, you know, as much bad as happening, to see human beings acting like human beings to each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's encouraging.
And I want it to remain when the pandemic has left. I want that spirit and that energy to remain. Because, you know, what I find very curious is that prior to the pandemic, we had already started social distancing to some degree, you know? Always like, hit me up on my email, DM me, you know, I'll check with you on social media. So we had already started putting barriers between our face-to-face and physical touch. So this pandemic has made us realize that's not the way we want to go. You know, now we're craving that physical touch and that face-to-face contact. You know, it's so funny. People who want to come by the house and visit, but you haven't been by the house to visit in a year. You know, it took this pandemic to make you see what is important in your life.
I know why we got to get this over with, because you owe me a job.
Ah! And I'm going to give that job to you. I'm going to say that right now. You are going to get that job.
For those of you who either didn't hear the first time or don't remember, my sister's going to have a late night show, and I'm going to be over in the corner doing me. She's going to have guests and all that there. I'm still going to be doing me. Right? I might wander
whatever
just
that is, right?
Through the conversation. Oh, what's up? Y'all doing something? Oh, all right. But I'm going to get a check. If one day you look for this and it's all gone, you know why. I'm on TV.
I will definitely remember that. Okay, you're going to be the first person I hire.
Oh, yeah. You don't even get to send a notice to me. I'm going to know.
I love it.
Oh, I need you to be safe so that I get a job.
I need you to stay safe, too.
Look, if you have any questions, don't go to Facebook, don't go to Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. All of those places are great for entertaining yourself, but not for informational purposes. Please seek out a reputable source, the CDC. Where else can they go?
They can go to the WHO, the National Institute of Health. Even some of your local news stations are doing a great job at making information available. And it's not that we don't want you to look at, you know, the social media. It's okay to read that information, but double check it against healthcare providers in health institutions.
And every so often, cut yourself off from the bad news.
Absolutely.
Seek out something positive.
I actually recommend that people have limit their exposure to all this COVID information to once a day. I think if you sit there and you watch news feed after news feed or breaking news after breaking news, you will be depressed. And I am worried about mental health during this pandemic. So we don't want to stare at our televisions all day. Get out. You know, pick that time. You know, I have once a day where I go check on things to make sure I'm staying up to date. But I don't want to be focusing on that all day, because there are still some positive things going on in the world, even in the midst of the COVID pandemic.
We can't let, I don't even know how long it was, 100 years. We can't let 100 years go by again before we do this. And let's not have a virus be the thing that has us talking again. All right.
You know what? Okay. And I'm going to hold you to that, okay?
Hey, look, I got to keep in contact with you because you're my future. I need you.
That's right. That's right.
Tell everybody how they can reach you real quick.
So you can actually follow me on Instagram at Dr. Bernadette MD. You can also check me out on LinkedIn as Dr. Bernadette MD. And on Facebook, I'm at Life in Harmony Now. So you can use all three of those social media platforms, and I generally try to keep it positive at all times and give people encouragement and health information.
She may do a TikTok. I didn't get that information from her. Oh. I just threw that out there to start something.
Is that your recommendation for your future job with me? I'm going to be on TikTok now.
Sure, if that gets it popping faster, let's do that.
Okay.
I can't stress enough how important it is that we all shelter in place. We want to make sure that all of you are safe and around to listen to us for a long time to come. If you have any questions, please check out the CDC website or hit up Dr. Bernadette's pages for more information on how you can reach a healthcare provider in your area. Until next time, family, stay safe. Love.